Lesson 24. From the Sheepcote to the Throne. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron. Many years had passed since David had been anointed by Samuel as king over the whole house of Israel. We might have imagined that the anointing meant David would immediately be placed on the throne. Instead of that, David the shepherd first became the popular head of the army, then the king's son-in-law, next an exile under royal disfavor, next a mountain chieftain, next a Philistine auxiliary. Finally, he became the accepted monarch of a small section of the kingdom of Israel before the full development of the divine purpose was reached. We learn the lesson that God is never in a hurry, and time is at his command. David's patience was tried, and David's faith was rewarded. David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. 2 Samuel 3 verse 1, until at last the kingdom of Saul collapsed, and David's authority was established in all the land. The principle has not changed with the passing of time. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew 10, verse 22. A place on the same throne that David occupied is offered to the faithful by the King who shall reign on it forever. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Revelation 3 verse 21, Luke 1 verse 32 to 33. Our aim in this lesson is to see how God rewards those who patiently endure to the end. 2 Samuel 2 to 5. David is king over Judah and Hebron. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1 through 7. David took Saul's death as a sign that the time had come to take the throne. Even so, he did not take matters into his own hands, but inquired of God, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" Having received an answer from God, he and his men went up to the cities of Hebron, where they dwelt. Israel was without a king and in disarray. On hearing that David had returned from exile, and knowing God's promise to him, the men of Judah anointed the popular hero as their king. The question now pressed itself in the mind of David. How would all Israel be gathered to him? When he learned that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were responsible for giving Saul an honorable burial, he blessed them in the name of God. He also reminded them that Saul was dead, and he was now king in Judah. Plainly, he was implying that they should take the lead and join forces with him. But such was not to be at that time. Division in Israel, 2 Samuel 2, verse 8 through 32. Abner forestalled David's hopes of uniting Israel by installing Ishbosheth, Saul's son, upon the throne. Abner had been Saul's captain and was the real strength behind the feeble monarch. He seems to have known that David would eventually succeed Saul's house. Yet he kept the kingdom apart, probably to preserve his own position. Civil war broke out between both houses of Israel. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, led the servants of David, and Abner, the servants of Ishbosheth. Both sides faced each other on opposite sides of the pool in Gibeon, and a force of 12 men from each group all perished in a token battle. As always happens when brethren fight, there is tragedy and both sides lose. In the sore battle that followed, Abner's men were put to flight. Asahel, Joab's youngest brother, pursued the experienced Abner with the fleetness of a roe, ignoring repeated warnings to turn aside. Asahel perished by the skillful spear of Abner. The sight of fallen Asahel ignited the fires of vengeance in his brethren, Joab and Abishai, so that they pursued Abner and his host to the wilderness of Gibeon. There Abner received help from the Benjamites. The battle was stalemated and following Abner's call to remember that they were brethren and that the sword could only produce bitterness in the end, both sides ceased. When a count was made of casualties, it was revealed that only 19 of David's men were lost, but 360 of Abner's men had fallen. Clearly, God was with David. Abner's folly in refusing David the kingdom was manifesting itself. At length, it would cost Abner his life. Refusal to obey God always leads to death. David waxes stronger and Ishbosheth weaker. 2 Samuel 3. The strength of David's position is emphasized by a direct statement in the record, and also by the fact that 6 sons were born to him in Hebron, but in the house of Saul there was division. Abner had taken Rizpah, Saul's concubine, to wife, probably to demonstrate that he was the strength behind Saul's house. When Ishbosheth charged him with fault concerning the woman, it offended his pride, and he vowed to give the northern kingdom into the hands of David. He also declared that in this he would be doing the will of Yahweh, for who he had sworn to give David the throne over Israel from Dan to Beersheba. Accordingly, he sent messengers to David with his intentions, but David refused to make a league unto his wife. Michal was restored to him. Diplomatically, Abner conferred with the elders of Israel, and later the Benjamites. They were pleased with his decision to transfer the northern kingdom into the strong hands of David. Abner could now speak with David with the confidence that all Israel endorsed his action. David received Abner and his men with festivity, and they were sent away in peace with the purpose of uniting Israel unto David. But alas, Joab was not a party to the agreement. He was away fighting the king's battles. When he heard what had transpired, he rebuked David for making an alliance with his enemies. Unknown to David, Joab sent for Abner, who, without suspecting his malicious intentions, perished by Joab's deceitful and deadly sword. He had exacted his vengeance for the death of his brother, Asahel. But God had declared, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," Romans 12, verse 19. At length, in the wisdom of God, he too became the victim of the sword for his treachery. Joab's action was foolish indeed. Israel was about to unite under David. Matters were delicate and crucial, and now the chief negotiator from Israel had perished in Judah. David pronounced a bitter curse upon the house of Joab and wisely made it plain that he disapproved of Joab's action and was not party to it. He caused the people to rend their clothes and personally accompanied the buyer. He made a public lamentation over Abner, extolling his virtues and refusing to eat till the sun went down. David was a king with a wise and understanding heart. His subjects were impressed and pleased. Moreover, it was obvious to all Israel that he deplored Joab's brutality. Israel crumbles with Abner's death. 2 Samuel 4. Upon hearing the news of Abner's death, Ishbosheth's courage failed. Israel was confused. Perceiving this and the need to unite with David, two brothers, Rechab and Baana, contrived to bring unity about in a way which they thought would secure their honor. They slew Ishbosheth while he slept on his bed and conveyed his head to David as the evidence that the day of Yahweh's vengeance upon the house of Saul had come. But David was not impressed. He was a just man, believing the law, "Thou shalt not kill." Rechab and Baana had slain a righteous man asleep on his bed. Ishbosheth had actually been forward in returning Michal to David, and had no doubt hoped that the kingdom would have been transferred to David peaceably. David was troubled. The true brothers would be rewarded with shame, not honor. They were quickly slain and hung over the pool at Hebron as a public witness that David would not tolerate iniquity. Their hands and their feet were cut off, for hands that shed innocent blood and feet that be swift in running to mischief are an abomination to Yahweh. Israel and Judah united under the anointed. 2 Samuel 5, verse 1 through 10. David's firm but merciful rulership attracted the northern tribes, which were now in disarray. Without correction, all the tribes rallied to David in Hebron and willingly offered allegiance. They pleaded 3 points. 1. We are bone of thy bone. 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And 3. Yahweh said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. With such ready homage, a covenant was made in Hebron, and David was anointed king over Israel. David was 30 when anointed king over Judah, and it was 7.5 years later when he was made king over all Israel. Thus God's word of promise came to pass in a remarkable way, without David presuming to grasp power. Truly God could say, I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. David next took the city of Jerusalem from the hands of the Gentiles. Jerusalem, or Jebus, was situated in Benjamin, on the border with Judah, and so it was an appropriate place for him to reign over all the tribes. The nation of Israel was now about to move into the most glorious period of its history. David, a type of Christ. In many ways, the ascension of David to the throne is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is to occupy the throne of David. Luke 1 verse 32 through 33. The table on the following page shows a number of points in this comparison. David is a type of Christ. Both were shepherds of their people. Both were exiled and rejected by their countrymen. Both were honored and loved for their integrity and righteousness, and were followed by men. Both were promised the throne of Israel. Luke 1 verse 30 to 33. The Lord Jesus will, like David, save Judah first. The Lord Jesus will, like David, unite both houses of Israel. Like David, Christ will redeem Jerusalem from the treading down of the Gentiles. Jebus means trodden down, and will rule therefrom. The lesson for us. David's prospects were never darker than when he returned to Ziklag to find it burnt with fire and all the families missing. Yet he was on the verge of daybreak. Like David, we are tried in the furnace of affliction, but in due season we will reap if we faint not. Now is not the day of our exaltation and glory. We must submit to the yoke of Christ by putting aside the prizes this world has to offer. Yet sacrifice and self-denial, for Christ's sake, shall give glory, honor, and immortality in the kingdom soon to dawn. A worthy end does not justify unscrupulous means. Though Abner and Ishbosheth had to be moved aside to make way for David, he lamented the violent men used to hasten these events. Righteousness and justice beyond keynotes of David's reign. Compare with Psalm 72. Verse 2.